How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
5, 6, 7, 8, Lolo. Lorelai and Logan.
The low and the low, the two lows, low squared, if you will.
Low squared.
All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
How you doing?
A little tired.
Oh yeah, me too. I'm a little tired.
Quite tired at the moment.
You had quite an adventure this past weekend.
I had quite an adventure because you and I went to Michigan, which we can talk about. So yeah. Much fun. I was supposed to fly to Florida on Saturday to dog sit for my brother
who went on Sunday. Vacation.
What you were did supposed I to fly to say?
You said you were flying on Saturday. We came back from Ann Arbor on Saturday night.
Right.
And then
What's today? Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday. It's the week before this episode premieres. Okay. And yeah. Like we both were flying in to our respective homes on Saturday night. And then on Sunday. Late afternoon, early evening, you were supposed to fly out of Florida. But Hurricane Milton is coming. And from what we understand, it's going to be rather impactful. By the time this episode airs, we'll know how impactful it was. But it was moving right through Florida, which is where you were supposed to go. And remember at the airport, I was like, hey, did you hear about this hurricane?
Should you maybe not go?
And you were like, it'll be fine. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, but I was supposed to do a dog sit because my brother and his wife are going on vacation and they had this booked for months and months. He's in residency. It's hard to get time off. And their dog was going to be there, of course. And so she was going to be in the path of Milton with me. So we went, drove down and brought her back. Drove down on Sunday.
And how long is that drive typically from where
you live?
It's about
6.5 hours.
Okay.
It took 9.5 on Sunday just because of traffic.
Sure.
And then on Monday, it took 14 hours because our car broke down on the interstate.
That, I told Brett about that and he was like, what? Do they need a rabbit's foot or something?
They do need a rabbit's foot.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things of like, the car was kind of doing a weird sound on Sunday, but then it stopped. So we were like, it's all good. We're going to be fine. Oh. And we left about 6 on Monday and about 11:30, I was asleep, of course. And my mom goes, Haley, the car is breaking down right now. And we were on the interstate. And I said,
and that's
okay.
How you were woken up.
Yeah. I said, okay, pull over. And we were literally like 100 yards from the exit because we were trying to get there to like be somewhere that is not on 75. But she pulled over. And what are you going to do when you have a dog and two people just sitting on the side of the interstate? You're going to get out of the car because you have to go to the bathroom and you're going to walk half a mile to a truck stop and go to the bathroom. And then you get back in just in time for the car to get towed, get a rental car. The last rental car in, what's it called? Live Oak, Florida was where we're
I was going to ask, had you crossed over into the Georgia border yet? No.
We were still in Florida. But yeah, the nicest man alive, Kenny, came and towed us.
Kenny. I love that you thought his name was Dennis.
Well, it said Dennis on the side of the truck.
Oh, I was like, where'd you get Dennis?
No, Kenny, I didn't just make it
Dennis.
Up.
Little no, ENN in the middle.
It's a Dennis, and it was Dennis's garage down in Florida, which saved us.
Well, thank you, Dennis.
I know. He took us to the... Thank you to them both, but Kenny actually, he gave my mom a hug when we parted ways.
Saw the picture. That's so cute.
It was so cute. He said, everything's going to be okay. You're going to be just fine. As it turned out, we were fine. But yeah, we got an electric blue Nissan Sentra. If you've ever seen the color blue before, think again, because this car was bluer than that.
That's so funny. When you said that, you were like, electric blue. I was like,
it was quite blue. All right. But yeah, so rather than getting back about 1 so we could have our work day and meetings that needed to happen, we got home around 7:30 p.m. But yeah, the odd thing is Nellie, who was the reason that we went there, she was totally fine the whole time. So unbothered. When Kenny came, she was like, new friend. Hey. He just kept telling her she was such a good girl and so beautiful. She was like, great. Love you. Love Kenny. She got in the car.
I love that.
So unbothered. And there was a little bit of like evacuation traffic. It wasn't quite bad.
Sure.
Because my sister, who lives in Orlando as well, they came in last night, and it took them about just as long to get up here because they went about 25 miles an hour the whole way back until they got to Georgia. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well.
Yeah.
I'm glad everybody's safe.
I'm glad my family's safe. Scary. Yes. I do hope that whatever has going to happen in the next couple of days, that just praying for endless safety over the people of Florida, because I just unimaginable, really. So.
I know. Well, especially given the impact from Helene in a lot of the Carolinas, which we're going to post on our Instagram story some resources.
Yeah. If any of you listened to our episode from last year with Adrienne Young, she actually lives in Asheville and she's been sharing a lot of resources. So we're going to share some of the ones that she posted.
Yeah. We have a friend who also reached out to us about, you know, using our platform and our profile to make sure that people know where they can donate and how they can help, because it's devastating. You know, I've shared with you that my partner Brett is from New Orleans, and he was, you know, he and his family were displaced after Katrina. They ended up going west and moving to Dallas for a little bit because Katrina just really upended a lot of people's lives in 2005. So, you know, hurricanes can be super, super devastating. And right now it sounds like in North Carolina, they're really facing a lot of that.
Yeah.
And not just local to North Carolina. I just know Asheville in particular has really, really been hit very hard. And so we want to make sure that we're using our platform to share how people can help, even if they're not able to like physically donate anything or physically go down there, that they can also share those resources too. And hopefully, I mean, we're still kind of waiting with bated breath to see what happens tonight into the next couple of days with Milton. But I'm glad that your family is safe. And I'm also sending a lot of love to people whose homes might be there, whether they are there or not. People who are evacuating, people who are kind of hunkering down and trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're with you guys. Oh, that's so sad.
It's scary. Horrible, but hopefully we can have a nice little episode today to help lift some spirits today.
I hope so. Yeah. We have a really great topic today. I'm so excited to finally talk about this because it's something that we've been kind of teasing, talking about for a while. We did talk about it very briefly when we first started our podcast journey back in 2022. A Mother Is Not a Boyfriend is the name of the episode.
10 or something. I know, like that.
Which is crazy to think about, you know, how long it's been since then, because I was like, all right, we did kind of talk about that, but that also feels like an eternity ago.
Yeah, because last week was our, oh my gosh, should we say this in the episode that came out? I don't remember that it was our 157th episode.
I don't think we did. No.
Man. Because that's how many episodes of Gilmore Girls there are, including the revival.
I know.
And we were going to, because we forgot our 100th episode. Mm-hmm. We forgot our 154th episode.
I know.
Because we recorded that far in advance, because that was our Stassi Schroeder episode. We were going to mention it in the intro.
And we forgot. And of course, this is our 157th main pod episode.
Yes. Not
doesn't include Patreon.
Or Gilmore to read.
Mm.
And so I guess this is our 158th episode.
Yeah. Last week we celebrated having the same amount of episodes on pod as Gilmore Girls, which is crazy.
Which
crazy
was, to think about. Yeah, which is so crazy to think about, like us sort of revisiting. I think it was episode 10. Maybe it was somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there.
May 2022. It was just after Mother's Day. Like you said, A Mother Is Not a Boyfriend, where we went through and compared Lorelai to all of Rory's boyfriends, because each of them has a little bit of Lorelai in them.
For sure.
But before we get into this, because we're going to talk more about Lorelai and Logan today.
That being is two sides of the same coin. Yeah.
Yes. Our stars of the show, Lolo.
Lolo, if you will.
Which is what people were calling them in our stories. And it just.
That's so funny.
Lolo, Lorelai and Logan. But before we get into that, we do want to talk about our trip to Michigan. Before everything went wrong in my drive to Florida, we had the most magical best weekend ever.
Oh my God.
In Ann Arbor, Michigan.
It was so lovely. It was so lovely. If we got a chance to see you there, thank you for coming. It was so magical. God. What a beautiful experience. Haley and I were saying, you know, not to knock the other events we've done in the past, but this was probably our most favorite live event we've ever done.
Yes.
And it was a lot of that so is because fun. Of the people who showed up, but we owe a lot of that to Rock, Paper, Scissors in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's run by Lisa and her business partner, Lane. Lisa is the owner. Lane does a lot of PR for Rock, Paper, Scissors. They, as a duo, remind us so much of the two of us. And we bonded
they
with
really
them
do.
So fast. They're kind and just so creative.
So organized, so generous with both time and
so generous.
Themselves.
Oh my God.
But We were there, of course, for Stars Hollow Saturday, which Rock, Paper, Scissors puts on. It was the Gilmore Girls anniversary, which was super fun.
I know. To be 24, together on baby. That day. What a good year.
24. Different than 25. We will celebrate 25. That's every single time, a whole celebration. Every time that reminds me of when Paris is doing the 75th anniversary edition of the Franklin.
Yeah.
And is it Madeline?
Madeline.
Yeah. It's like, we didn't do anything for the 74th.
She's like, well, so nobody cares about the 74th anniversary issue. And I'm like, why? I'm with Madeline.
People who worked on it 74 years ago.
Yeah, they did. Hello. That's what
that always reminds me of. But yeah, so we went there to do our coffee event, which was a 9 a.m. event with our besties.
The 9 a.m. crowd.
I was a part of it.
You were, shockingly, and I
managed to do it quite well. At least I think so. But the thing that we loved so much about it and was different than our other events is that it was not on a stage. We were not standing there in front of everyone and the house was dark. We were kind of at everyone's level, just a little bit. We were at a slightly taller table.
It
felt like the most interactive episode of Gilmore to Consider that we've ever been able to experience, because we put together another fall playlist. But what was cool is we could like poll the audience, or like if someone made a strange face, we could like totally call them out and figure out what it was they were feeling. And people could talk back, and not talk back in a bad way, talk back in a good way.
Yeah, no, like talking back, like sassy. Yeah. Actually, people were sassy, but not.
But in a fun way.
In a fun way,
like,
yeah.
It was just funny, and like it was so cool to just like be able to talk to people and get tons of different perspectives. And like a core memory of everyone saying, why did you drop out of Yale at the same time spontaneously? It was so much fun. And it really just changes the way that we're thinking about doing our future live shows.
Yeah.
Just because we want to feel that interactive vibe, that as much fun as it is for us to like put on a show, I think it's so much more fun to have everyone involved in the show that we're doing. So we're going to figure out a way to do that. But we just had the absolute best time. Also, if you have never been to Rock, Paper, Scissors and you are in the Ann Arbor area or
you must
surrounding,
go.
You have to. It is perfect for Gilmore Girls fans. It is perfect for Swifties. I cried several times in this store.
Oh my gosh.
I was kind of emo that day.
On Friday when we got in, yeah, because our event was on Saturday. Haley and I landed around noon on Friday and we went to Ann Arbor and we, you know, kind of just bopped around a little bit. We checked into our hotel. It was called The Graduate. Oh my gosh. It was like Yale and Chilton vibes. It was very
hotel vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. Very academia. It was, they actually had a drink called The Dark Academia at their coffee shop. It was so cute.
No, it was The Dark Macadamia. It was a macadamia latte.
The Dark Macadamia.
Loved
even
it.
Even better. Yeah. We didn't have one, but we saw it on the list and we were like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But our rooms were right next to each other, which was very cute. And it was so special. We were greeted with like these gift boxes from Rock, Paper, Scissors. Again, Lisa, she's just so generous. And
yeah.
It was so special. We got to walk around. We got to have lunch at this beautiful place called the Avalon, which had the best tomato basil soup I've ever had in my life.
Tara loved that soup.
I loved that soup. I did. You know I love a good cup of soup.
And then we went to Rue's Roast, which was a coffee shop, like I think 3 times in the day and a half that we were there. We loved it.
I had my first cup of coffee. For the first time in a year.
I was supposed to say, in a year.
But my first cup of coffee this year. And it was so, so good. I started little baby steps.
I did decaf.
And it was so good. It was the sugar and spice latte. Because I love a pumpkin spice latte. But not, I've talked about this. Like, I don't like the one from Starbucks. I don't like a syrup. I like when they make them at a mom and pop shop. Usually they're very, very good. This one did not disappoint. It was so good. And then I had a regular cup of coffee for our event. You can't have coffee and not have coffee, you know?
Did you have coffee there?
I got Brew's Roast.
Oh, you brought it. Yeah. Because at the event, they had the cutest cups where you could pick a Team Dean, a Team Jess, or a Team Logan.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone picked a Team Dean cup.
I don't think they did. I think a lot of people raised their cups for Team Jess and Team Logan. But they said coffee on one side and what team you were on the other side. And you got to choose, which I thought was so special.
Yeah, because there's a little coffee bar. I will say, when we did ask for the Team Jess versus Team Logan, I do think that Team Jess contingency showed up.
Team Jess one by a landslide.
Michigan went team Jess.
Yeah. It's very true. But yeah, that morning that we got there, before all that, on Friday, Haley and I did get a chance to go into Rock, Paper, Scissors, and we were able to kind of look around and get to know the store before we, you know, joined them for Stars Hollow Saturday. The next day, we got to meet Lisa and Lane. Oh, no, we didn't meet Lane until Saturday, because she helped us out with our coffee event. We got to meet Lisa and some of the people that work at the store, the manager. It was a very Lorelai and Michelle kind of relationship. The manager, Dory, who's so, so sweet.
That's not true at all. Dory is very, very kind.
No, she's very kind. I just mean to
Michelle
say.
Michelle is not.
No, she's definitely not. But when we turned the corner, because there were so many Gilmore Girls things, and I assume that there are Gilmore Girls things all the time, whether you go now or you were there on Stars Hollow Saturday, a lot of that stuff is there. It's just not as like Gilmore activity based.
Yeah,
but
they're really big fans. But
they're huge fans. But we turned the corner and there was a cardboard cutout of Taylor Swift, and Haley was like,
"Well, it was because it was tables and tables and tables of Taylor Swift themed things." And I just got so overwhelmed. First of all, I was overwhelmed by the Stars Hollow of it all, because it was, we were seeing them set up for Stars Hollow Saturday and all the stations that were there, Stars Hollow Books, Miss Patty's, Kim's Antiques, the Dragonfly Kitchen, Luke's Diner, Al's Pancake World. There were so many different little spots there. Dosey's, where you could get the custom trucker hats, which was so cute.
I know.
But seeing all that set up. Yeah, and the totes was so, so cute.
Yeah.
But then I did not expect the Taylor Swift of it all. And they just had the absolute best stuff. I spent way too much money in this store.
So did your sister.
Yes. I also shopped for my sister. But like, oh my gosh. And they also had a lot of jelly cats. Lost my mind over some jelly cats. It was just all around gorgeous, gorgeous.
It was
shop.
Great. So creative. Very thoughtful. You can tell that they've put a lot of love and attention and creativity into this store. And they did the same for our event, for their event with Stars Hollow Saturday. And so when we got there on Saturday morning, I mean, everything was set up so beautifully. They had mugs, complimentary mugs for everybody with a sticker of our logo.
It said
inside.
Stars Hollow on the side with the sticker inside.
It's so cute. And then they had all these homemade vegan pastries. They had homemade Pop-Tarts.
We had no idea they went vegan.
So I could eat them. Perfect for Haley. She could eat them. And they had these Stars Hollow Gazette little pamphlets.
But wait, back up to the Pop-Tarts.
Oh, they were very good.
I took three to go with me.
Yes, you did.
I ate three that day. They were
I had two
so
just sitting
fucking
there.
Good. I think that the place was called Benny's in Ann Arbor, who made them. Or maybe they made the cookies, because at Stars Hollow
Benny's made
Saturday,
the cookies.
Yeah, that's right. Because at Stars Hollow Saturday, they had custom cookies.
Oh
which
my God, that were
you can
so
see.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, we posted them on our Instagram last week. But, oh, so good. But the Pop-Tarts alone was worth it.
Oh, 100%.
I would have gone to Ann Arbor just to eat that Pop-Tart.
Just to eat the Pop-Tarts
home.
And then go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was just so nice. It was, I could have sat there for hours and talked to everybody. But so back in 2022, we had an episode called An Automatter, where Haley and I went through all the fall episodes of Gilmore Girls from each season. We each chose one to put on our fall playlist. We could only pick one from each season. And so we revisited that and we built a collective fall playlist with everybody who came to Coffee. And it was so much fun. And again, changed the way that we like think about doing live events, because I feel like this podcast and the show itself are all rooted in community. And so it can be hard sometimes when we are on a stage and we can't really see everybody in the audience to like keep that community connection alive. And so it was really, it was so cool. I loved it. I was a little nervous. People weren't going to be able to hear us because they had one microphone. I gave it to Haley, of course, because I am loud. And
Tara projected so marvelously.
Thank you.
Never could have done it. Like, I was worried a little bit about her voice at the end, but she was fine. But that's
was fine.
Tara can talk that loud, no problem, to a room of 80 people. Slay.
But it was really nice because it was, even though it was 80 people, I mean, it still felt intimate, you know? Like,
it was.
The space,
yeah.
Once the room was full, it was easier to not have to feel like I was yelling. I just didn't want anybody to miss anything. And they didn't. I just thought it was great. It was so cool. We traded some friendship bracelets, or we really just gave friendship bracelets out. We had some people who made some for us, which was really nice.
Oh my God. Someone made me a Books and Bev
friendship
bracelet. And I was like, I never felt more seen.
I know. It's so true. That's your brand. I love
it. That's who I am. Just Books and Bevs.
It was also super fun to meet everybody.
That was great. That's always my favorite part. Like, I love doing the show. I love chatting with you. I love chatting with everyone. But I just love getting to meet everyone afterwards. And we could have stood there for hours and hours and hours talking to everyone. And I wish we could have, but we didn't have time to do it. But like,
I know.
That's really, honestly, one of my favorite parts is just getting to hear where everyone has come from and like their perspective on things and just ask little questions. And it just feels like you're making a like 80 new best friends, honestly.
It's so true. We did play 1, 2, 3, He's Yours before we built the fall playlist. Oh, so it was really fun to do a little trivia, have people come up. People got dressed up in costumes. It was just so fun. And then, you know, we got the
trivia, I will say. So we asked trivia questions for who gets to participate. Some of the best questions we've come up with, and we will not share them today because we want to reuse them.
Future live events. Oh my God. It was funny. And again, like kind of prompted the community energy really well to kick off the event. It was so great. And then we got to go next door to Rock, Paper, Scissors and enjoy Stars Hollow Saturday, still see some faces, shop a little bit more. I got some really fun goodies for Brett, which was cool. And they just have like so many.
Should we talk about breaking the ornament?
Or do I don't want to talk right about past that. I'm skate right past the fact that I smashed an entire ornament. But now you all know.
Sorry for bringing it up.
It's I love the analogy that you had about Gretchen Wieners.
Karen, of like, what is it? I'm sorry for telling everyone you had diarrhea at Barnes & Noble, and I'm sorry for repeating it now.
Yeah, and then she trust falls into the group.
Yeah, exactly. That's me.
So funny.
I'm sorry for telling everyone.
That's okay. They were going to find out eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah. How?
I don't know. I would have shared it one day.
We'll get the security footage from RPS and show everyone.
Oh my God.
If only because I was in the bathroom. I was washing my hands when this happened because I heard Tara go, and then shatter. And I was like.
Well, no, the shatter was first, then the gasp. It was shatter.
No, it was gasp, shatter, gasp.
Oh, because
you were like, oh no, shatter. And I was like, I think something just occurred.
And then you open the door, and it did, fact, occur.
It did, in fact, occur.
All in all, it was a great time. Lisa and Lane and Rock, Paper, Scissors, and the whole staff there, they're absolutely amazing.
So kind.
We are so excited to work with them moving forward. They're so great. And we had the best time. We ended up walking around Ann Arbor for the rest of the day and kind of leisurely went to our flight. It was super empty. Getting through security was a breeze. We hung out.
Detroit Airport, man. Love her.
Yeah. And then we went home. And then
I ran into two
very long road trips.
I did, but I ran into a flight attendant who I was friends with in college. She was like, she was on the plane. I walked on and we like made eye contact and we were those annoying girls who were just like,
Oh my God. I love those annoying girls.
It was so much fun. Yeah, we were totally them. And then everyone was like, oh my God, so good to see you. Like, all the strangers I didn't know. But,
That's so funny.
It was just such a good, magical Gilmore Girls, Gilmore to Say time. And I just want to do it all the time now. I want to do it every single weekend.
Hey, when I suggested that in Ann Arbor, you were like, every single weekend?
And I know. I say every single weekend, but like I got out of my routine for like 4 days and I'm
I was going to say, struggling. It comes with a set of challenges. I mean, I took 2 4-hour naps, one on Sunday and one yesterday. And I think it's just because, you get up, would you go, that. You know, you're moving.
What? I said, I would love that. I would love a nap.
I know. Sounds you really deserve good. A nap after everything
you've
been through.
Thank you.
But yeah, it was really great. And we're just so grateful to everybody who came out. We loved seeing you. We loved meeting you. Thank you for being there to support us. Yes. It was so much fun. We hope that we can go back again very soon.
Yes. And on that note, if you would like to come to our next live shows, which we feel like will be hopefully in this like same vein of this style that we love so much, we will be in St. Louis on November 7th. Very excited. And we'll be, of course, in Atlanta on December 5th for our birthday party. We're very excited. I'm very excited for cake. I'm very excited for you to come to Georgia.
I am too. That's the part I'm really excited about. Yeah. I'm excited to see your house and where you grew up. And
Stop. I'm going to cry. I'm going to drive you around town. Tara's never been to Publix. We're going to take her to Publix.
We've been to a Publix or a Waffle House.
Oh my God. We're not going to go to Waffle House, but I'll drive you past like 12. Just
you can drive me past them. I'm sure we'll pass them all the time. Oh, speaking of, I got to see my first fraternity and sorority houses in.
That killed me.
In Michigan.
it was like their version of Greek Row.
Yes, exactly. We had sorority and fraternity houses at my school. Like, we had Greek life there, but not like that. Not in these, like, big, beautiful, clearly houses that have been passed on generation to generation.
Like mansion-style homes.
Yeah, no. I've only ever seen that on ABC Family's Greek. I have never seen in person, like, an actual Greek house that looks like that.
Yeah.
You know, where I went to college, it was just like, yeah, let's just call this the...
Call this the house.
The house, you know? Very different.
I love it. Because I would love to do a show in Athens, where I went to school at UGA.
Yeah.
And, like, it, Athens feels very similar to Ann Arbor in a lot of ways.
That makes sense. Yeah. Being near the, you know, Ann Arbor is home to University of Michigan. Being in that setting was very, very cool. It was it was great.
Very collegiate. Very cute.
Very collegiate. Yeah.
Very Yale of us.
So Yale of us.
We did want to go on campus. They... You guys, the amount of times that Tara and I said, I saw you on State Street with. So you saw me on State Street with?
Yeah.
It was dramatic and obnoxious. But we did want to go on campus and pretend to be the students there, a la Lorelai and the road trip. But we didn't have a lot of time.
No, we didn't. We were really there. We were there for less than 48 hours. So, but it was perfect. I love trips like that. I thrive in trips like that, where I'm there for a quick little, like, less than 2 days. Maybe 2 days at the max, and then I go home. It's great.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do for St. Louis and for Atlanta, so
be great. You stay there for Atlanta, but yeah.
Oh, I do. I do stay here.
That's true. You're not traveling very much.
No.
But again, thank you so much to everybody who came. We're so excited to see the people that are going to be there for St. Louis and Atlanta. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then we have a really great trajectory for what we want for next year. So we'll definitely be doing more live events, probably in some smaller towns, which I'm really excited about too. Some smaller towns, some smaller cities.
Big small town girls.
Yeah, big small town girls. That's what they call us. Anyway.
Is that what they call us?
I don't know. Maybe they do.
Speaking of small town people, neither of these people are really small town people. Lorelai and Logan.
You don't think that Lorelai is a small town person?
I guess she's actually. I have a question about that later, but
okay,
we can hold off on it. Let's hold off.
Yeah,
because I have we have a lot to talk about today. Because as we mentioned, we did talk about this in A Mother Is Not a Boyfriend, which honestly, that's one of my favorite play on titles that we've done for some reason.
Yeah,
Of A House Is Not a Home, obviously. And we went through each boyfriend. We did Dean, Jess, and Logan, and talked about how they were similar to Lorelai. Because I think it's not very interesting to just say one of them is similar and the other ones are just very, very different. Because they all have a little bit of Lorelai in them. Rory is dating her mother just a little bit, which is what A Mother Is Not a Boyfriend is referring to, is that Rory's kind of dating her mom in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't think about this until this moment, but the only boyfriend that I think Lorelai doesn't connect to somebody else in the series is Logan. With Dean, I feel like in Kiss and Tell, she's like, he looks like Christopher. Like, he's just like Christopher. Mm. And when she's talking to Jess, she's like, I know this act. I've been here before. I am you. And she kind of speaks to who we're supposed to affiliate these boyfriends with. But with Logan, to my knowledge, we never get that. And so I think that, like, Amy's perspective was, I'm going to write a character for Rory to be a love interest that is similar to her father. And I think she accidentally maybe made her a little bit more maybe made Lorelai. Him a little bit more Lorelai.
Yeah. The only time I can think of is in A Vineyard Valentine, when after Mitchum, classic favorite scene, yells at Logan. Mm. And Lorelai's like disappointing family, like she really relates to him.
Totally.
And but it's not in that same way, like, you're like me. You're like Chris. It's kind of like we relate to each other. We have very similar situations here that our family's just eternally disappointed in us. And I totally get that.
Yeah. Which a lot of people said in our question box, because of course we put it out there to our listeners, you know, how they feel like Logan and Lorelai are two sides of the same coin, which is something we've been saying since we started this podcast. You know, it's something that you talked about on your TikTok in your parallel series, which of course spans a lot of different storylines, characters, etc. But you did talk about this a lot on your TikTok.
I have a specific Lorelai Logan because I, of course, in doing research for this episode, I just went back to research that I had previously done. Thanks, Fast Haley. Just did research on my own TikTok and I had forgotten that I had a whole playlist called Lorelai and Logan. Lolo is what I should change it to.
You should. Lolo.
But it was a 9-part series of parallels that I had found between the two of them. And I think it was like super easy to pull them out because a lot of them were similar incidents, and similar dialogue that connected the two of them. It got a little bit more nuanced as it went on. But this is where I said that Lorelai and Logan are two sides of the same coin. And do you ever say something so much you're like, I never want to hear that phrase again?
I know.
I was going through it this morning and I said it so many times in that series that I was like, I don't think I want to use that phrase ever again. Please don't do that again. But it's just cute to go back and see those because I do much prefer this format of communicating over TikTok the way that I was doing that then, just because like it's so concise, you have to be really quick in the way that you're explaining something. So I much prefer this, so we can like be very long-winded, which we always are.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's just a lot to say. But I'm going to go through some of the parallels that Gilmore Girly Girl offered up for us.
Thanks, and Gilmore Girly Girl.
Thanks, girly girl. But then, of course, we put it out in the stories. We did a little poll. I'll tell you the results of the poll of whether or not people think they're similar. And then we have a list of similarities and a list of differences. Some of them hilarious, but true. Mm. Some of them are ones that I'm like, huh, I want to discuss this with you and figure out if this is a similarity or if this really is a difference that we can both see. But just a couple of the parallels, I kind of split them up into dialogue and incidents is kind of the way that I did it. I don't know why that's the way that I did it, but that's okay. How I've done it.
Lay them on me.
But I'm sure that you, in coming up with them as well, have very similar ones.
I could, or maybe I won't. Let's see.
Or maybe you won't.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I know a lot of you besties are romance readers like me, and let me ask you, is there anything better than when the next book in a series you love is finally released? For me, that is The Davenports More Than This by Crystal Marquis. This is the much-anticipated sequel of The Davenports, which was an instant New York Times bestseller. I loved The Davenports. It was giving Will They or Won't They Bridgerton vibes, so of course, opulent historical drama with leading ladies and their dashing suitors, grand balls, and drama. You know I love the drama. All set in 1910 Chicago with a wealthy Black family, the Davenports. And I love that the author's inspiration for the Davenports was a real family, the daughters of C.R. Patterson, who was a carriage manufacturer in the early 1900s. And I can confirm The Davenports More Than This continues the story you fell in love with, or will fall in love with if you haven't started yet, as we pick back up with Ruby, Olivia, Amy Rose, and Helen as they navigate a rapidly changing society and discover the courage to steer their own paths in life and, of course, in love. As the drama heats up in the summer of 1910, you'll find these young Black women meeting new faces and facing new trials that change their lives and hearts in ways they couldn't have imagined. If you've read The Davenports, you know you want to pick this up immediately, and if you have not yet read this series, this is the perfect time of year to settle into a story that you won't want to leave. You can buy your copies at The Davenports by Crystal Marquis and its sequel, The Davenports More Than This, wherever books are sold.
Haley, do you like free stuff?
I do like free stuff.
Well, then you're in luck because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now and they are giving away free gifts with every purchase.
We have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year.
If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone.
You are not. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality, as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body.
Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, managing stress, balancing hormones, improving your mood, feeling refreshed, all in one bottle.
When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded.
Right now, for the entire month of November, Bioptimizers, the makers of Magnesium Breakthrough, are having a Black Friday blowout sale on all of their products.
All month long, you will get discounts with our unique code, plus access to up to $100 in free gifts with purchase.
This is the best time to stock up and take advantage of all the free extras you're going to get. You can only get this exclusive deal through our link for our Gilmore to Say audience only. You won't find this on Amazon or even on the company website. So go to buyoptimizers.com/moretosay and use code moretosay to get your discount and free gifts today.
And one last thing, you should know all Bioptimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked.
Again, the link to go to right now for this exclusive deal is buyoptimizers.com/moretosay.
I tried to do them kind of chronologically, but it's a little bit hard because some of them are from like season 1 and 2 of Lorelai, but it's like season 5 or 6 for Logan. Sure. So in terms of dialogue from Double Date, Lorelai says this whole trust thing only works if it goes both ways because she being Rory lied to Lorelai or withheld information about the double date. And so she didn't want to lie to Mrs. Kim about it because of the mom code. We're not here to discuss the mom code, but we could go on for hours about that one.
Yeah.
But in A House Is Not a Home, Logan says this relationship thing is only going to work if it goes both ways.
Yeah.
So that was like one that was like almost word for word the same. So my brain said, oh, of course, there's the classic say something where you take your car to the dealer, they say rip you off there.
Yeah.
Logan says it. And then Lorelai says it once she realizes that she has a limo. And yeah. It's because she had her car at the dealer, but they still rip you off there.
And I remember we both, of course, listened to A Mother Is Not a Boyfriend in preparation for this episode. And I remember talking about how I felt like they tied Lorelai and Logan together with dialogue because they are, like, of the three boyfriends that Rory has, he's probably the most separated from Lorelai because Jess and Dean were in Rory's orbit in Lorelai's world. Yeah. Whereas Logan, there's so much separation because Rory is at college between Logan and Lorelai that they don't really get an opportunity. Though I really don't understand why they didn't write this in more. We talked about that as well. There's not a lot of opportunity for the two of them to have conversations where they connect. So connecting them and tethering them through their dialogue is a very interesting choice.
I think so too. I think it's a really clever way to kind of keep those worlds connected, especially when we don't want them to be connected in other ways. But yeah, because in that one we talk about Dean and Lorelai and Rory are all dating each other because they're like always together, so it makes sense that that all kind of bleeds in. But it makes sense that we're going to connect them in that way. Another one is in A House Is Not a Home. This is a lot of these come up from A House Is Not a Home. This is when Rory is telling Lorelai that she's going to leave Yale, and she was like, if you don't want to do journalism, stay at school and figure out what you do want to do, and kind of gives her a list of things that she could possibly do.
Yeah.
And in Balalaika's, Logan says something very similar of like, go into journalism, be a doctor, be a clown, be whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And so I think they have very similar mindsets about that of like, you have kind of everything that you want, because that is a similarity between them that a lot of people said of like, they have very trapped feelings in their life and Rory has a lot of choices. And that's something that we talked about too in A Mother Is Not a Boyfriend, which is something that I was kind of cooking up at the time, that Lorelai and Logan are really tied together by their lack of choices.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about in Re-Logan. I like that we do a little Logan episode every fall. Feels like a little tradition.
I know.
Another one is from Back in the Saddle Again. Is that it? Back in the Saddle Again? Mm-hmm. Lorelai is saying that it is a foreign concept to her that Michelle is excited that his mom is coming. And then in, is it Welcome to the Dollhouse?
I don't know.
Oh, I think it's 21 is the loneliest number because they're talking about Rory's birthday. And Logan says that he knows that she misses her mom and the concept is a little hard for him to grasp. So in that same vein, both of them, not so fond of their mothers.
Well, just don't understand how people have really healthy relationships with their parents.
Yeah.
Oh. Something that they can't grasp.
In season 6, both Lorelai and Logan feel very particular about the apartment that Rory is renting. They both do not like it, and in various instances quote the same sort of idea that they don't think that the doo-wop group is an honest-to-goodness singing group, and they both kind of say that in very similar ways. But my favorite parallel dialogue moment between Lorelai and Logan is in Partings. Who is surprised? Could talk for hours about the nuances of Partings, but yeah. The last line that both of them say in Partings is, "I have to go." And I really love the parallel here, because Logan, his is kind of prefaced in an earlier scene when he says, "Tell me not to go," to Rory, and she doesn't. And so he tells her, "I have to go." And the sentiment of Lorelai addressing Luke is she's telling him, like, "Tell me not to go.
Tell me not to go.
Give me a reason to stay right now." And she says, "I have to go." And it's just, it's very different circumstances for both of the relationships.
Yes.
But I do, that one's always, I just love that one. It's just such a good,
I love that too.
Such a good little moment. I can't wait till we get to Partings. We're actually very close.
I know. We're so close. It's true. I can't believe it.
We're here at the beginning of season 6 on Patreon, and we'll get to Partings end of January,
before
February.
We know it. I know.
So soon.
Wild.
And then some incidents that Gilmore Girly Girl offered up, which is Logan and the sewing box and Lorelai and the seating chart.
Yeah, I wrote that
and
down.
And this one, it's like, I think we were talking about it in
How Many Crow Box,
of course, because Lorelai is so furious at Logan for taking the sewing box and messing with Emily. Mm-hmm. But in Wedding Bell Blues earlier that season, she completely destroyed the seating chart to no qualm or care that the wedding planner got.
She got fired. Cost someone their job. And Logan is nearly about to cost this maid her job because Emily, of course, is blaming the maid. "Where's my sewing box? Why do you look so relieved that the sewing box was found?" You know, but I do agree, you know. I think that Lorelai, and this is a more general broad statement about who she is as a person and how that connects to Logan. Lorelai is okay with doing silly things like that until she witnesses somebody else do it that could impact her and the people around her, because it was non-incidental when it was someone she didn't know. And obviously she didn't know Emily was going to fire the wedding planner, but it's when Logan
response
thinks,
is kind of like, "Oops," or something like that.
She's like, "Oh no, uh-oh." But I think when it comes to Logan and his antics, it's now like, "Oh, well, now my mom is upset. Now I'm going to watch my mom fire this maid." You know, it's okay until it's not. There's a lot of double standards for Lorelai that she sets for other people that she herself doesn't follow. And so many characters do that. A lot of human beings do that. But I do agree that I think it's interesting how their antics kind of fall in line together. But when Lorelai watches him do it, she's like, "I don't like that boy.
No, I don't like that boy. I would never do that, except I've already done it this season."
Yeah.
They both end up, Logan and Lorelai both end up with people their families don't approve of. Maybe not end up, but we can say season 5, season 6, their families don't approve of Luke and Rory.
Yeah, they're both admonished by their families for wanting to marry, in a lot of cases, quote unquote, less
beneath them,
you know, less for optics or business purposes as their families would want them to be, and more for love.
And in that same sort of, like, I guess, a dialogue-esque way, I don't necessarily include it because it is a season 7, but we can include it because it does fit, is, "You've been Gilmore'd and you've been Huntsburger'd." And that's kind of very much in line with the way that their family treats the people around them. And "You've been Gilmore'd" actually ends up being kind of okay. Like, it's like, it's kind of like this, like, good sort of whiplash.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I think that the only thing bad that comes out of "You've Been Gilmore'd" is June 3rd gets brought up, which Luke is like, "Why'd she mention June 3rd? Because, like, they just, like, suddenly become very protective of the people that they're with.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with Mitchum in season 7, is he's kind of like pulling in Rory into this sort of, like, protective bubble of being Huntsburger'd, and kind of, like, made to feel like, maybe this was bad, maybe I'm doing something wrong, but someone is offering me something good, which feels very similar to being Gilmore'd. And their parents want control over them regardless of what they want. The yelling, they love to yell at them. Emily does it many, many times, but Mitchum does it, in my personal favorite scene.
Your hype scene.
My hype scene. Who are you? Mitchum Huntsberger. Who are you? Love it. Classic.
Yeah. I mean, I had some of those written down here because I think that they're very poignantly paralleled. Again, I don't know how intentional it was from Amy to really tether these two characters together in the way that we analyze it now. But I think one major parallel that isn't laid out for us as specifically, but is very, very, again, poignant to the two of them being connected and being very similar people, is that they're both kind of bolters. We talk about Lorelai being the bolter a lot, and we also talk about how Logan has a tendency to bolt. He doesn't really know how to settle, but that is specifically noted in the way that Lorelai and Luke in Partings, speaking to that, which is where I thought you were going with Partings, they have this huge blow up fight, right? In the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Lorelai says, I gotta go. And she immediately runs into the arms of someone familiar to her in Christopher. When a few episodes prior, we learned that, you know, at the beginning of season 6, during Let Me Hear Your Bell, Lake is ringing out, Logan and Rory have this big blowout fight, and he leaves. And him,
to find a bridesmaid. Yeah.
In his mind, they're broken up. In Lorelai's mind, they're broken up. So they see conflict like that being a symbol of we're over. And I think it's also divided the fandom a lot in, like, did they cheat? Because as we know, Logan goes and sleeps with many bridesmaids, and Rory sees that as cheating. When Lorelai sleeps with Christopher, I don't know that Luke necessarily sees it as cheating. I think the audience sometimes sees it as cheating because in both of these instances, I have some questions about that
later. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Because in both of these instances, no one says, like, we're broken up, we're done. It sounded like, you know, with Lorelai, she gave him an ultimatum. And he said, I don't like ultimatums. And she goes, I gotta go. And with Logan, they got into this huge fight, but Rory didn't see that as we're broken up. Rory saw that as we got into a fight.
Yeah, she didn't talk to him for 2 months and was like, yeah, that was just a fight.
The circumstances are very different. Luke shows up the next day, right? Being like, let's run away together.
I think supposedly. Logan,
I think it's season Logan, 7 of it. Whether or not that's canon, up to you to decide.
Interesting question, though. Does anyone ever break up on the show and it's like, we're broken up?
Dean and Rory. I'm not her boyfriend anymore. Like, he says it very plainly.
Okay, yeah. But not in season 3. Not in season 5.
No.
Just Dean.
Yeah. And, you know, Rory and Jess on the phone, also just a symbolic breaking up.
Yeah.
Jason and Lorelai. Kind of, again, one in the kind same of. That he doesn't see it as a breakup and she does, you know?
Yeah. Interesting thought.
Yeah. It that, to me, the two of them running into familiarity when things get hard feels very, very much in line with the two of them being two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. I have a question about that as we go through this. It's kind of in that same sort of scenario, but not exactly that same thought,
okay,
if you will. But we'll get there.
Okay.
Because these were ones that were offered up by, what's your TikTok handle, Tara Lou, and Gilmore Girly Girl, the us of the past have offered this up to the table.
Yeah.
So you can go through and see all those videos if you want to. It is, I won't change it. I'll keep it Lorelai and Logan, so it's easy for you guys to go through and watch little old me, go through all of these. Little me. But we wanted to bring y'all into this, of course, because we have touched on this before and kind of wanted to see where you were at in terms of your thoughts on Lorelai and Logan being similar, because we think they are. I think that, oh my gosh, is this a, like, because we are going to have a Gilmore to consider about this, honestly, because we want to know kind of how y'all feel at the end of this episode. And if you think that they're similar, if you think that they're more different than they are similar, if you don't see anything that we've said at all, and either that you don't see the differences or you don't see the similarities, we definitely want to hear from you. But can I say this?
We don't plan on reaching a verdict necessarily.
No,
today.
No. Except I'm going to give a verdict right now.
Okay. great.
There's part of me that's like, okay, I'll give the results of the poll, because this poll was, do you think that Lorelai and Logan have similarities or similar? And 58% of people said, yes, they're similar. 22% of people said they didn't think so until they started listening to the podcast. And 20% of people said no, sparkly heart. And I think those 20% of people, I want to talk to that 20% of people, because it's like, you don't see it at all. Not one of these is like, oh, okay, I can see how they're similar. Nothing, none of them, you're like, no. Like, is it just like you like don't like Logan so much, or maybe you don't like Lorelai, or you're just like, I can't see it.
I like, have a feeling that it's probably, eyes, I can't see it. I have a feeling it's probably the former. I think it's that people find, and we found this in the differences, quote unquote, question box. A lot of people see Logan as being arrogant, see him as embracing his privilege, whereas they feel like Lorelai rejected it, chose another path. Yeah. These characters are examples of the road not traveled by the other, right?
Yeah.
Lorelai is the example of
the two sides of the coin.
Yes, because they were both dealt very similar circumstances and they chose different paths. Lorelai chose to walk away from it. Logan has chosen to embrace it. I say that with a lot of hesitancy because I don't think he always embraces it, but I don't think that Logan could thrive on his own the way that Lorelai has.
No, personally. And I think that that is why he ends up getting compared to Christopher, because it kind of is like Lorelai and Christopher paths.
Exactly. You know, you can make the same argument that Lorelai and Chris are two roads not taken for the other. You know, that's the result. And especially because they're like kind of the same age, it's a lot easier to compare the two of them as equals, whereas Logan and Lorelai are, when we get to know them, there are two very different points in their lives. So I think that a lot of people can make arguments that, you know, they're not similar because we don't know Lorelai. We never met in one episode at the max in the flashback episode with Dear Emily and Richard.
Young Lorelai. Yes.
Young Lorelai. We don't know her.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to make comparisons to between the two of them when we've only ever heard about Lorelai's upbringing. We've only ever heard about the things she did when she was Logan's age.
Very negatively. Yeah.
Or through her parents.
Also very negatively.
So I think it's I think it's harder for people to wrap their minds around the concept that Lorelai and Logan could be two sides of the same coin because we're meeting them at two very different times in their lives. We're getting to know them at two very different times in their lives.
And I think the reason that I pull this out and I say that Lorelai and Logan are similar rather than this is Lorelai and young Chris kind of running similar paths or parallel paths, if you will, is because I think that Chris lacks the depth that Logan has, and he also doesn't follow the path that Logan does. I mean, to some degree, when we get to the revival, he's kind of ended up where he was always maybe meant to in his parents' eyes. But he kind of just like, in the same way that Emily says, like, I've never really thought much of you. Like, you just kind of are like, nah, like limp fish sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And I will say that before we really move on to the similarities from our besties, I also think that Lorelai and Logan, though, like, yes, admonished for being with people that maybe are quote unquote beneath them according to their parents' standards, I think they also run back. They have a very difficult time letting go of their first real love. For Logan, it's Rory. For Lorelai, it's Chris. And interestingly, both of their parents in Emily and Shira say to the other, maybe Shira doesn't say it directly to her, she says it in front of her, that she doesn't think much of her.
Yeah.
And that she's not the right person for her. Even though Emily really advocates for Christopher and Lorelai to be together, she still says to him, I never thought much of you.
Yeah. She doesn't really seem to like him that much. It's just circumstantially, he is the father of Lorelai's child and comes from a good family. So she's like, I guess it's got to be you.
I guess it's you, man.
You dimwitted nothing is kind of how she feels about him. Yeah. But yeah, that's so true. But I think that a lot of what we said kind of falls into the similarities that a lot of people listed. I'm going to list some of my favorites.
Yeah.
I have three that just really got me. Name starts with an L. Slay. Great job.
Great job.
Lolo.
Great work.
Nice to look at.
They're both nice to look at.
Very beautiful. True. Beautiful people. Don't like Jess.
Okay. I wrote that one down too. I have an amendment to it.
Okay.
They are both very threatened by Jess.
Ooh.
I think that Lorelai
probably because Jess
feels like, well, not no. You're not wrong. I feel like Lorelai sees Jess as a threat and tried to befriend him you know, at first, but then once she gets to know him, realizes that he has feelings for Rory and that that could threaten the pie in the sky relationship she has with Dean. So I think there's
she being Rory, but also she could also be Lorelai.
Yeah. And then Logan is immediately threatened by him.
Yeah. Oh.
For obvious reasons. Look at him.
Before he's even exited the car. Talk about being nice to look at. Both of them.
Yeah.
Just a sea of nice to look at. But back to Lolo, Lorelai, and Logan. Someone said they're both charming and outspoken. Fair. True. They have rich families and hate their parents. Definitely. Both deeply love Rory. Bring out her spontaneous side, which I totally agree with. A lot of someone said they have similar senses of humor and wit. And I like agree, but this was one of those ones that I was like, do they have like similar senses of humor, or is this all written by the same person?
I think it's more that.
I thought so too.
She creates very dynamic characters. Not everybody has to be the quick witted, fast talking pop culture whiz that Lorelai is, but we do get some of that from Logan. So it's really subjective.
Yeah, it's really six of one, half a dozen on that one, because it feels like they do have similar sense of humor, because not every character does. But at the same time, every character kind of makes similar fast talking references. So could just be that it's the show.
Yeah.
They don't appreciate the luxury of their life, but use the power of it when it suits them.
Yes, that was a big one. A lot of people said this. They said they are similar in that they want to embrace their privilege when it's convenient and reject it when it's not.
Yes, this was said in so many different ways. They both feel misunderstood.
Yeah.
By their family and by, honestly, feel like the world around them. They're both a little teenager in that way.
Yeah,
like,
and they still have strained relationships with their parents even into adulthood.
Yeah, poor them. Thinks their great life is a horrible life. Which this one was interesting because I agree. I think that they both have very great lives in the sense of like they both have a lot of privilege. But I think that great life implies that all there is to life is money. Because like there's like the saying, money can't buy you happiness, but money can buy you the comfortable life that you need. But this is really proof that money, they can have all the money in the world, but you are not going to have a happy family. So I agree with that.
I saw a quote recently by Jim Carrey, who I love.
What's Jim Carrey got to say?
Well, he said, and I don't know how recently he said this or if this was just a recent post I came across, but he wishes that everybody in the world could experience fame and wealth to understand that it's not going to solve all your problems.
Yeah, it's going to solve a lot of your problems.
It can solve your problems, especially if you don't know what you don't know, right? Like Lorelai chooses a life of, you know, having to seek out stability on her own. Logan doesn't. He's always had that to fall back on. And arguably Lorelai has too.
Yeah, I was about to say, she can fall back on it too.
She chose that life. But, you know, with Logan, he doesn't know any other life. He might think, like, it's a grass is always greener syndrome, right? You might think that not being under your parents' thumb is way better than being under it. Whereas there are people who are like, I'd love nothing more than to be coddled by the wealth and privilege that you have, you know? Yeah,
because so, they know the other side of it.
Correct.
Yeah. It's all circumstantial. It's really all. Totally. There's so many different ways to look at it. But I agreed with it, but I also disagreed with it. Because I think that there's like two.
That's a very nuanced take.
Yeah. Someone said that their wit and admiration of Rory was very similar, which I agree. Rory made both of them grow up a bit.
I loved that one.
Me too.
Because it kind of goes hand in hand with what 2022 Haley said, in that Rory was their first adult.
It was 2021 Haley. Oh, no, that was 2022 Haley. So sorry. Yeah. You were right.
Rory was their first adult choice.
Yes.
Speaking of choice.
Choice and commitment to the choice, I would say.
Yeah.
Which I think she said that too. She said it very eloquently, and I was like, wow, slay. Just copy and paste into this episode. I
know. It's so true.
Tara and I said slay ironically like one time, and now it's become our personality lately.
It's being said seriously.
Yeah. they are both liked and yelled at by Chris.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was like, yeah, definitely. Love that.
Sure.
desire to get out from under their parents, except when it suits them, which yeah. someone said in a very similar way. Someone just quoted, all I see is one door and I'm being pushed through it. And I was like, yeah, that is, I think, one of the ones that you were referring to earlier about we don't know much about Lorelai's upbringing other than through anecdotes, negative anecdotes for the most part. So I would say it's true.
It's true to a certain, but like a lot of these similarities are true with caveats, right?
Yeah. But I would say this is actually a difference.
I do too, because she maybe saw that same thing. All I see is one door and I'm being pushed through it. And she chose not to. And that's why
she carved a hole in the wall and got out.
Yeah. Literally, she saw a window, ran towards the window and, you know, left.
Jumped.
And yeah. I think that that's why Rory says to him, and let me hear your bell like is ringing out, like, you can choose not to do this. It's because she knows from watching her mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. The last one that I have before I have a lot of questions for you and maybe their similarities is they're never enough for their parents, so why try? Mm. And I think that both of that is both true and not true, because they're never enough for their parents, so why try? But I think people who are never enough for their parents are always going to try, because yeah. sometimes they're enough. And they're always going to seek that one little moment where things were good. And I think that Lorelai does want to be enough for her parents.
I think even, she does too.
Even though she like talks about, she talks the talk to anyone, including a journalist who she should not talk that talk to, and it ends up being printed. But I think deep down, she wants that. The revival herd doesn't tell me that that's true, but.
Well, you know, whatever. I'd say she less seeks approval from her parents. She more revels in it when it does happen. You know, I think yeah. the moment where
she wants it deep down, she wants it, even if she's not seeking it out, she wants it.
Yeah, I think that when, you know, she and Richard in back in the saddle again, when she's helping him start his own consulting business, I think that he really admires her and I think she loves it.
Is that help wanted?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. That's Help Wanted. Back in the Saddle is yeah. when he's doing the group project.
The Chilton project. Yeah.
Maury, you're totally right. And Help Wanted.
Paris. Yeah.
Is when, you know, the two, he starts to admire her. And I think she really revels in that. Or when her mom, you know, in Scene in a Mall is like, I'm just admiring your mother. And she's like, oh, I do that often. You know, I think it feels really good. But I don't think yeah. she necessarily, I think she's stopped actively seeking it out, doing things to evoke a reaction from her parents.
Yeah, because I think that sometimes in those instances, those types of kids, whether adult or not, are kind of going to act out a little bit. And that's how that's the attention, because they're not getting it positively. But I think when they get it by accident, it's like, oh, I can't win at all, yeah. because in Help Wanted, it's kind of, she's just being herself. The other instance that I thought of was like mother, like daughter, when Emily was really like surprised and impressed by the event that she put on.
Yeah.
And that was just her, again, being herself. So totally. I think that they're similar in that way. I can't really think of a Logan instance. We don't get a lot of Logan off on his own outside of Rory. So
that's fair. We don't. And admittedly, one of the differences is that I wrote down that we can get into later is that I just don't think the relationship he has with his parents is similar. I know that the
yeah.
overall trope of my parents don't understand me and they just want me to fulfill this path that they have me on is very general. And in that sense, they definitely do align in that way. But I think yeah. mostly because we've zeroed in on Lorelai and her family dynamics, because that's the whole point of the show.
That
I think that,
is actually what the show's about.
Truly. I think that the result of how close they actually are with their parents.
Yeah. So I have some that people put in, and I wrote thoughts, Tara? Question mark.
Okay.
Under it because I kind of disagreed with them, but I kind of wanted to see how you felt.
Okay.
Because someone said a similarity between the two of them was that they're not good at relationships.
I don't think that's true.
I
can understand why people would think that, considering that the only relationship...
You did say they're both bolters.
They are both bolters. They have the instinct to bolt. But I think when they are in relationships... I mean, Logan, I thought was great boyfriend to Rory.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he didn't have his fault.
Until he wasn't her boyfriend anymore. Yeah.
Correct. With Lorelai, though, I do think that she has a tendency to be a little self-involved in her relationships in a way that I don't necessarily think Logan is. I think he can be self-involved. But I think that the examples that we see in Lorelai's relationship with Max, in her relationship with Luke, I do think that there is a little bit of self-involvedness there. They both have things to learn in their relationships. That's what I agree
with.
Yeah,
I think that's true. Because I think that Logan is not self-involved until he needs to be for the plot. So like maybe self-involved for himself, but not with Rory, not in his relationship. And it's not until Jess shows up that like, okay, this benefits the plot for him to be self-involved here.
Yeah.
And but I don't think for the most part, I think he steps in pretty well to being a boyfriend.
I think he does too, considering he doesn't really have a lot of frame of reference except for who's the boss.
Yeah.
You know?
Really is the only one.
And Lorelai has a lot to learn too. I'd say that that's a way that they're similar, is that they have a lot to learn in their relationships to allow them the space to not be boulders, you know?
Yeah.
I think that that's where I would agree they're similar, but I think saying that they are bad, what was the exact phrasing?
Not good at relationships.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that.
Yeah, me neither. Unsure.
We both have things to work on.
Yeah, don't we all. Yeah. They both claim they want what's best for Rory, but neither of them get what Rory actually needs/wants.
Well, one way that I felt that they were similar is that when Rory decides to drop out of Yale, they both basically allow her to do it. They disagree with it, but they allow her to do it just from different proximities. A lot of people say that Logan enabled Rory to drop out of Yale. That's a lot of the argument, I think, against Logan in their relationship. When it comes to the fandom, a lot of people feel that way. I feel like he and Lorelai were of the same mind. They were like, what are you doing? They just chose to go about it in different ways.
I think so too. And I think to say that they both claim they want what's best for Rory, but they neither really get what Rory actually needs/wants. I don't think that's true. I think that Rory wanted to drop out of Yale, and so they were both like, okay, you can do that. But to say that they allowed her to removes a lot of the free will from Rory.
Yeah.
That, like, Rory needs permission from either of these people to do that. But I think they just went about it in very – they were on the same end – different ends of the same spectrum, different sides of the same coin, if you will. That Logan kind of just was the only person who didn't abandon her in this time, even though he didn't really agree with it. Lorelai also didn't agree with it. And she said, figure this out for yourself, honey.
Yeah, I guess in saying that they didn't give Rory necessarily what she needed, I think a lot of people wanted someone to, like, kick Rory's ass back into Yale the way that Jess seemingly did, you know, like, yell at her and be like, what the fuck are you doing? Just, I think they wanted that from Lorelai.
You love when someone yells at you, right?
Oh, I know. Really, really.
Nothing makes you
want to
do something than when someone yells at you.
Well, but I will say, after he yells at her, she does get her ass back into school. Not saying he's the reason, but sometimes you need a wake-up call. And Lorelai and Logan weren't necessarily willing to give her that wake-up call. They both kind of sat back and said, okay, you're going to do what you want to do.
They did both sit back and be like, she'll go back to school. Logan's like, I give her a month. And Lorelai's like, she'll go back to school.
She's
like,
got to do this on her own. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think they have very different approaches to it. But I do think that at the end of the day, they both want what's best for Rory. And they both feel like she's not being true to who she is if she's not in school.
Yeah. Which... that's kind of her whole personality. That's kind of her whole thing. So,
yeah.
True. True to some degree. Someone said they're both cheaters.
Yeah, this is where I make the comparison of running to familiarity when things get hard. I don't consider either of them cheaters.
Yeah, that was more of the question.
Well, I take that back. Under the circumstances that I listed earlier with partings and Bridesmaids Revisited after
Ballet. Yes, someone specifically said a year in the life.
A year in the life. One.
Yeah.
That's not Lorelai. I'm sorry. It's not. It's not.
Wait. Lorelai cheats in a year long.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're not both
Logan
cheaters.
Logan does.
Yeah. So that's not Lorelai. I'm sorry. She's not a cheater.
I don't think cheated. That was the question I had. I don't think Lorelai is a cheater. But the next one that I had is the scenario that you were talking about earlier, but it's kind of different because someone compared the Bridesmaids and the Chris incident at the end of Partings, and they said they both escape via sex. And I think that the nuance here is really what's important because, yeah, if we put it there, if we just surface level, sure.
I was going to say that's a very surface level.
But I just put it's more of like old habits die hard.
Yeah.
Or in the words of Taylor Swift, old habits die screaming.
Yeah. I think that my former statement still stands. I think they are just the kind of people where when things get hard, they run to familiarity. Lorelai did it in her fight with Luke at the end of season 2 in Teach Me Tonight. Who's the first person she calls? Chris. You know, like that is what she does when she is feeling trapped, abandoned, like she doesn't know where to turn. She turns to Chris. Mm-hmm. Logan turned to these girls that he's always had like a maybe fling with here and there. But that also goes hand in hand with being unable and incapable of really giving up on your first love. And I think that – I think with this situation, it's a little different because with Lorelai, she didn't turn to Chris because she was like, I'm still in love with this man. She turned to Chris
because –
she can't
quit him.
She can't quit him. Yeah.
It's not like I'm not giving up on it. But I think Logan is like, I'm not giving up on this.
Yeah. I think, though, in those instances, in Partings and – after Let Me Hear Your Bell, like as before Bridesmaids Revisited, or really before just like Gwen and Gavin when they get back together, or would we say they get back together on Friday Night's Horror for Fighting?
I think they get back together then. It's like they're talking now.
Sure.
I don't think it's about sex.
I don't think it's about sex either. I think it is genuinely running to familiarity because I think that at the end of the day, they were running to familiarity. In the
running
name
to
of
vices, really, too.
To vices, vices is a great way to put it. To soothe the fact that the person they actually want is not giving them what they need in the moment.
Yeah.
Or that they've just had a massive falling out with the person that they actually want to be with. I don't think that Lorelai ran to Chris because she wanted to be with Chris. Lorelai ran to Chris because the person she actually wants to be with, Luke, won't give her what she wants. And in Balalaika's, it's less about Rory giving him what he wants. Well, I guess in a sense, he wants to leave. He wants her to just kind of let him do what he's got to do. It's moreover, they get into a fight. They have a falling out. I need somewhere to lick my wounds. In fact, I need someone to lick my...
No! No! Okay. We're going to put an explicit rating on this. Like we said, in on Patreon, season 6 gets a little PG-13 at various points. We're getting a little PG-13
on
these parts.
Wait, I have to tell you something. Okay, so what? Yesterday, Nancy finally listened to Always a Godmother, Never a God. No, was that the one?
Which was the one where we talked about? It was The Ungraduate.
The Ungraduate. She finally listened to The Ungraduate, and she was like,
oh, what'd she say?
She laughed so hard.
Good.
But she
you'll
said,
have to go listen to that if y'all don't know what we're talking about. There was an incident about Tara being dressed and Brett not being dressed.
Well, so. Sleepwear. We were asking what people's sleepwear
preferences
were.
We don't have to tell
them. That's true.
We can go find out.
But Nancy said that she takes responsibility.
Oh, great.
She's like, I just, you know, that's just how we were, you know?
That's just how we were.
That's how we were.
Oh,
we were
I love
babies.
That.
They were little Nikki babies. And I was like, all right. Okay.
I love that. That was one of my favorite. We had a great time.
I told her, I said, it has been a running joke for weeks.
Absolutely. So anyway. But I have, those were all the similarities people had. So the difference is equally as funny to begin with. One of them was that, in terms of differences, Lorelai's taste is not Bridesmaids.
Well, sure.
In that same note, of course. My favorite, personally, of course, I imagine this was your favorite, was he's blonde and slutty, she's brunette and flirty.
When you said that to me last night,
I added it that that should be the tagline to our show.
Oh, God, that would
she's
be so funny.
She's blonde and slutty, she's brunette and flirty.
Well, I didn't know that's how the people thought of me, but sure.
That is how the people think about you. It shouldn't be, though, because you sleep like completely dressed, so you sleep in jeans. Another reference to The Ungraduate on Patreon if you want to go listen to that one.
So
okay, but back to their differences. Logan didn't get pregnant at 16. Sure. So fair. That's very so true. Fair. Logan can cook. Also
that
fair.
One made me laugh. I was like, yeah, that's true.
Logan is more honest about his privilege and self-aware about it than Lorelai is.
That is also very true.
Totally true. Lorelai gave up what her parents wanted for her, and Logan couldn't manage it. The other version of that was Lorelai had the courage to do it, and Logan didn't.
Yeah, this is what I was saying earlier. I just don't see Logan being able to survive on his own. And I'm not saying he can't.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you think about that. Do you think that Logan could survive without help from his parents?
You know, I think that he could.
I think season anybody seven could.
Aside. Yeah, but I think that he's crafty enough. I think he's smart enough. I think he has enough of his own connections and he could honestly use his own name, even if that's not that distance from his father. I think that one of the main reasons is that Lorelai left young enough that she kind of built up that her confidence in herself by the manner in which she did it and found a community around her. I think that Logan's is that he's never been made to feel like he could do that, mm-hmm. and he's never tried it. And I think that it's really hard to try something without any support from anyone in doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so hard at the end of partings is Logan's like, tell me I could do this. And she's like, I can't. Mm. And I think it is on one part, you do have to make the decision for yourself, but there is a lot to be said for your partner being like, I think you could do it.
Yeah.
I think you can. I'm not going to tell you to do it, but I think that you could do it. So I think that it's more of like, it's sometimes an emotional thing of like, I've always been told this is exactly what I'm going to do. No one's ever made me feel like I could do anything else. So I'm just going to do this because I don't have it in me to try.
Yeah. Which I think falls a little bit more in line with Chris. Chris, though, tried to do things on his own and failed. And then ended up coming back.
He did sure fail, didn't he?
And then ended up coming back to be a part of the family business. And admittedly, I do feel like that's where he and Logan are a lot more aligned. I think that Lorelai possesses a resourcefulness that we never got to see Logan really have to use.
At least from what we know.
From what we were shown. Yeah.
Yes. We could write a lot of fan fiction otherwise, but
from what we were shown,
it's not there. Logan is reckless and Lorelai is just being herself.
Logan is reckless because he's young. We didn't know Lorelai when she was this young. Again, we get a small snippet, a small preview into that version of her in Dear Emily and Richard in the flashback. But based on the things that she and Chris have talked about or the things that Emily and Richard have shared about her, she was very reckless. So I don't necessarily agree. In that this time period that we have met both of them, sure. But we're also comparing an adult, a grown woman, to a teenage boy.
A college. Or a college student.
Or a college boy.
Yeah. Because I don't think he's ever a teenager when we meet him. Lorelai is more understanding of the non-rich, which was an interesting way to phrase this. I think it's also a hard thing to, she lives in this small town. That's her daily life.
Yeah, I don't think that Logan is as exposed to it as maybe Lorelai is.
Yeah, I think it just makes sense. I think it's a difference that it's like, that makes sense.
I will say, given the way he speaks to Marty when we first meet him, I know a lot of people think that that's arrogant, but contrasted up against the way Colin speaks to him.
Fuck
Colin.
He's such an asshole.
Hate him.
And I think Logan's just kind of being, like, friendly.
Exactly. But the way he speaks to him, he's like, hey, you're are you still bartending? Your financial situation hasn't changed. It's like he's being very direct. And if you want to look at it as elitist, you can. Rory certainly does. And she says that to him when they have their first conversation later in that episode. But he's really
talk to him like you were Judy Dench. Ouch.
Yeah. But I don't think that's his intention. I think he's talking to him like he's a person.
I think so, too. It's kind of hard because the phrasing here is Lorelai is more understanding of the non-rich. So we'd have to say, like, Marty, the non-rich, Logan, he talks to him pretty well. Like, I think it's an interesting sort of idea, but it was one that someone said. Lorelai gravitates towards a simple life and Logan likes the wealthy lifestyle. I agreed with that to a certain extent, but someone who off the top of her head could calculate how many Jimmy Choo's she could get for $75,000.
Mm.
She likes a nice thing or two.
Yeah, she does.
So,
but I think she prefers the simple life to the life that she could have had.
Yeah,
which is
I agree for the most part. But yeah, but there's little bits of it that have carried over for her. She likes she likes things nice. That girl.
Yeah.
Logan doesn't act like he's better than them slash not ashamed to be rich. I think that kind of Rory and Lorelai sort of have this idea that because they live in a small town, because they're not directly associated with Emily and Richard all the time, that they are, I do kind of think sometimes they think that they are better than the wealthy people. And this, it's kind of the same idea that Logan is recognizing his privilege and they're not. And they think that for some reason it kind of makes them better. It's really just hearkening to introducing Lorelai Planetarium in season 7 when Logan lays into her for her let them drink Cosmos article.
Yeah.
It's really.
I wrote here.
Do you think that extends to Lorelai?
Well, what I wrote here was Lorelai's denial and rejection of her upbringing is projected onto Rory in a way where she encourages Rory to also deny her privilege. Whereas Logan has a tendency to call her out on it and be like, no, you are privileged.
You went to prep school. You go to Yale. You go to Yale. Your grandparents are spending a whole damn astronomy building in your name. That's different. It's not like I live off a $5 million trust fund my parents set up for me. You're not exactly paying rent either.
Yeah. I think Lorelai's rejection of that life was ingrained in Rory from a young age, that even though she is offered a lot of the same opportunities because she grew up in Stars Hollow, she feels like that makes it different. And
sure,
they grew up differently. That is true.
That is but definitely true.
That's kind of where it ends because they're in the same place.
Yeah. And I do think that Logan is, he's not ashamed to be rich. And I think that Lorelai is ashamed of it to some degree and not as aware of it as she could. Which we've
I think Logan does lean into the rich kid lifestyle, whereas maybe Lorelai leaned into that when she was a teenager, but she dreamed of escaping it and saw that through in a way that Logan maybe has dreamt of escaping it, but not enough to actually see it through.
Yeah, because I think that a lot of these kind of like overlap in a lot of their sentiments. And the same idea of like the small town, simple life. Someone said Logan wouldn't be happy in a small town.
Yeah. I wrote down here, Logan could not make it in a small town. He could never be a big small town boy.
He couldn't be a big small town boy. I don't think so either. And I guess like New Haven feels a little bit small town because it's college town, but it's different because it's fucking Yale. It's an Ivy League school. So
yeah,
I think ultimately, that's not a big small town boy, that Logan. I'm still remembering earlier when you said like his, that just popped into my mind. Killed me. Someone said he's a spoiled brat, whereas Lorelai got out early enough.
We don't know that Lorelai wasn't a spoiled brat.
No, that I mean more so that like she got out early enough that it didn't become a personality trait of hers, it seems. Kind of from what they're saying here. Do you think Logan is a spoiled brat? I think so.
I think he can be. I think Lorelai can be too. I don't know. I mean, like,
he's fucking singing yachts.
Yeah, that's different. Like, well, it's the way that he's like, don't worry, my father will take care of this. Like, my father's lawyers are all over this. And Lorelai's like,
okay, Draco Malfoy, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Lorelai's a little bit like, okay, you know. But we don't know, again, like, we just don't know how Lorelai was when she was younger.
It's really comparing, like, again, 30-year-old woman to college kid who really grew up with,
which is what we're here to do, right? You know, so we have to kind of use our imagination to a certain extent in the context.
We love our imagination.
We do.
This next one is actually a really interesting idea. Someone said Logan is more timid. And I don't know if that means like he doesn't have the courage to leave in the same way that we've been talking about that.
Yeah.
Or if he is shy.
No, I think that it's more the former.
Yeah, I think so too.
People think Logan's a little too, I don't know, maybe the high society is ingrained in him so much that he's too timid to actually take that leap. I don't know. Yeah. I would agree on that front, but on all other fronts, I think that Logan is pretty forthcoming.
Yeah. There's that scene in, is it in The Undergraduate? When he walks up to those women at the DIR event at the Gilmores and he's hey.
Yeah.
But that's just because he's in a bad mood. I don't think that's because he's shy. But
no, he's definitely not shy.
No, too hot to be shy. But the next one, I think, is something that you were bringing up earlier, and that is that Lorelai's parents are much better humans than the Huntsburgers.
Yes. I think that at the end of the day, Emily and Richard want to have a relationship with Lorelai. I don't think that Shira and Mitchum care as much.
Yeah. It's interesting to me because in But I'm a Gilmore, when Honor comes and meets Logan and Rory at the door when she is coming to the Huntsburgers for dinner for the first time, she said, "I told Mom that you were coming, and that usually makes her happy." So I think that there is a level to it that she likes his presence.
Okay, sure.
And he will offer it up. But I don't necessarily think it's like the same thing as Emily, where she really wants Lorelai in her life.
Yeah, I think that the business and the wealth will always trump Logan's relationship with his family on his parents' end. And I think that despite the fact that Richard and Emily really rely on how wealthy they are, I think at the end of the day, like, family first for them. Maybe that's too bold to say.
I don't think so.
But I do think
if it is.
Yeah, I do think that they really value having a relationship with them. And maybe people disagree.
Logan's
with
their pawn before their son, I think. And I don't think that there's ever been a situation that is so similar to Logan and Lorelai that Lorelai is like actually a pawn, because I don't think that there was ever like a dynastic plan for her necessarily, in the same way that they wanted her to marry well, they wanted her to go to a nice school, they wanted her to do all these things and kind of have a control over the direction of her life.
Yeah.
And they wanted these things for her, but there wasn't ever an expectation that it's like, okay, you're going to marry this person because you're going to take over for the company and you're going to run all these things and there's going to be all these expectations for you. I don't really see that.
I don't either, because, you know, when Shira and Emily have their little scene,
which we're about to get
Shira does say, you know, well, there's your money and there's our money. You know, I think that there are different expectations, though I think when Shira said that, I was like, ew. I do think there are different expectations. Lorelai and Rory were not poised to, like, take over the Gilmore family business. You know, it's different.
They're
the
not
going to
be insurance men.
They're not, sadly. But, yeah, I don't think that they had that plan looming over them for a long time. It was more over that the Gilmores wanted them to go out and become part of families, maybe like the Huntsburgers, because Emily and Richard are thrilled at the idea of Rory becoming a Huntsburger.
Obsessed. His blonde hair and her blue eyes on a little baby. What is it? Incomparable.
Incomparable.
I love when he says that. But the next one is that Lorelai is not a Nepo baby. Which sometimes she is, like with Mike Armstrong. Like, she's only getting these things because of her parents and because of their standing and a little loan. Like, it's not necessarily the same as Logan getting through life as a Huntsburger. But
sure,
that Gilmore name, she can throw it around from time to time.
Yeah.
Rory, but I'm a Gilmore. That's the whole title of an episode.
Totally.
So I think it's a little true and it's a little not.
Yeah.
But it's mostly true. Logan directly apologizes for mistakes he makes in a way that Lorelai doesn't.
I agree with that.
I think so too. That man, who taught that man I'm sorry? It's giving someone's cooked here vibes, but no one has. No one's ever cooked here before, so. Wonder where that came from. Logan is too afraid to disappoint his father and Lorelai doesn't really care.
Yeah. I don't think he's afraid of disappointing his father. I think he just understands the circumstances that come with that.
Yeah, he's like, I think he just knows that he's going to disappoint him.
Yeah.
Because that's what he says. If in order to be a disappointment to my father, your name would have to be Logan.
Which
he tells Rory.
He knows that it's a default of theirs to kind of view him, treat him, speak to him as if he's a disappointment. I think Lorelai can connect to that.
Yeah.
But I do agree that she decided a very long time ago that because she didn't want the life that her parents had laid out for her, that she had to kind of release the idea that they were going to be disappointed in her. She accepts it. And I think Logan accepts it to a certain extent, but he's still playing the game.
Yeah, definitely.
The game, I don't think necessarily means that he cares so deeply if his parents and family, et cetera, are disappointed in him.
Yeah. He's just, I mean, he's accepted that they are disappointed in him.
Yeah.
But he's not going to step out and ultimately disappoint them, which totally. We are very much disregarding that he does in season 7. Like, he leaves the whole thing after he makes a big uh-oh in business.
Yeah.
And he leaves the whole situation. So the whole Huntsberger situation is what I mean. Mm-hmm. So there is that. We are disregarding it to some degree, though it is in season 7. Someone said Logan isn't afraid to ask for help. And I was a little confused by that.
I feel like Lorelai also will ask for help. It depends on what they mean.
Yeah.
Do you mean help from his parents? Help from, because Lorelai asks for help.
I know she's afraid of it, but she
likes to do a lot of things on her own.
It's a little song and dance that goes with it, but she ultimately will ask them.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's more if she's not afraid of it. She just doesn't really want to. But I didn't, yeah. This was one of those ones that I was not really sure of, because there were a couple of them that I read them and I was like, I'm not really sure what is meant here. And this one is, I was like, maybe you had like, it really connected with you, which is why I picked this one out. So maybe Tara has something to say there. But this is why in a lot of these, I want to hear what y'all have to say, because this one, I was like, maybe whoever wrote in about this can.
I was going to say, if you wrote any of these that were a little bit like, maybe call in back or, up your opinions.
Or if you heard that one and it really resonated with you in the way that I thought it might resonate with Tara.
Yeah.
It didn't. But yeah, call in and let us know to any of these. Because I feel like in the same way that we said that we weren't going to come up with a verdict, there's a lot of ways that they're not the same.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways that they're similar. So I think that they're a real Venn diagram, these two.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if we came up with the pro-con list, which we kind of are in this moment of, you know, are they very similar or are they very different? I really do think that the similarities outweigh a lot of the differences. And I think,
yeah.
But it's about how much weight each of those differences and similarities carry, respectively. I think that with the ways that they're different, they can be very large. Like I said before, the similarities do always come with caveats in how they handle it. But I do think that,
though.
Yeah, yeah. But I do think they're similar in more ways than they're different. I don't know if that was necessarily, like I said at the beginning of this episode, intentional when it came to the way that Amy wrote these characters. I think based on the things that she shared about the story as a whole, she really wrote Logan to be a reflection of Christopher, not a reflection of Lorelai. Do you think at that any of these things were intentional on Amy's end?
Well, here's the thing that I was actually thinking about this before we got on, because that was that idea of a lot of people just will reject the idea that Lorelai and Logan are similar because they're like, no, Amy said that he's like Pris, end, done, no more conversation on that because that's what she said. But I don't think a writer is going to explain every intention that they had behind something in interviews like that. I think it's a nice little snippet. It's a nice little soundbite. It's a nice little clickbait headline of an article to throw that out there. So I think to say that the only intention that she had was to make him like Chris is wrong. Also because Chris is a lot like Lorelai. But I think that given the amount of similarities that they have, I don't think it's completely off base to say that a lot of them were purposeful. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, when you were saying that earlier, I don't know how intentional it is that we have almost the same wording of things between like seasons 1 and 2 to seasons 5 and 6 for Logan. So I don't know. There's parts of that where I'm like, did they really make that purposeful of a callback there? Or is it just that the same people are writing the show and that's how they talk?
I'm sure the truth lies somewhere in between.
Yeah. So like some of them, I'm like, if
those specific dialogue parallels are intentional.
They're, if it's within the same episode or the same season, that, I'm like,
In Say Something, when they talk about you take your car to the dealer.
Yes.
They still rip you off there. Yeah.
Yeah. Those for sure. But the ones that are like multiple seasons between them, this is like when we were talking with Amanda Montell on Sounds Like a Cult, where I'm like, yeah, this is where I'm like maybe verging it a little bit into a little bit more cultish than not, when I know the dialogue so well that I can identify that Lorelai and Logan said the same thing in different episodes. But yeah, I think sometimes it's coincidental. I think sometimes it's just the same person said literally wrote this and that's how they talk. But sometimes I think it could work. And I don't always think that the intention of the writer is necessarily the end all be all of the story. Because mm-hmm. I think that once a story's out in the world, we can kind of connect things within it. And I think that's what we do a little bit here.
Yeah,
on our show.
It's true. But as we said, we don't want to come to a verdict today. I mean, obviously, we have our thoughts and opinions, but we want to hear yours.
Obviously, I said I had a verdict earlier. But no, I want to leave it open. I'm open-minded.
I do. Yeah, I'm very open-minded, but we want to hear what you guys think, especially because we incorporated a lot of your answers into today's episode. So give us a call on our Gilmore to Consider line.
Yeah, we haven't had a Gilmore to Consider in a while.
I know. I'm very excited, especially one that operates in tandem with the episode that we've done the week before. So I'm really excited about this. So next week, we're going to hear your phone calls, your voice messages, all your opinions, and we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.